Welcome to another episode of Arm Drag Takedown. I am your host, Poyo Del Mar, your wrestling-obsessed drag personality, the First Lady of Bay Area Professional Wrestling, and an award-winning journalist who for 7 years covered professional wrestling for the Huffington Post. In fact, I was the only journalist covering professional wrestling for the Huffington Post, and I am glad to be back with Season 2 of Arm Drag Takedown, your podcast place to discuss all things professional wrestling and to bring you interviews with the top names in professional wrestling today. Before we kick off today's superstar interview, let's get some business out of the way. Please head over to Twitter and follow us. The Arm Drag Takedown with Poyo Del Mar can be found at ADT with PDM. That's ADT with PDM. And of course, follow my personal account. That's the Glamazon PDM. The Glamazon PDM on Twitter. All right, now we are joined this week by Impact Wrestling's X Division champion, the ultimate finesser, Chris Bay, is joining us today. I'm so excited for this one, ladies and gentlemen, Chris Bay. Are you there, Chris?
Yep, I'm right here.
All right, fantastic. Welcome to the show, champ. Thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me. This is awesome. I'm ready to do this.
All right, so, you know, as somebody who follows you on social media, you post some pretty adorable videos and photos on your Twitter feed, including a recent photo of yourself wearing a Dolph Ziggler merch when you were a kid, and, of course, the now infamous video of you opening an Impact World title belt replica. And so I was wondering, of course, how old you were when you decided that professional wrestling was the life for you.
So I got like into it when I was like 3 years old, but when I was probably around like 7 or 8 was when I really realized that it was 100% what I wanted to do with my life and nothing else. I had a couple other backups, like first black president, but Obama took that from me, so it's all good. But, I was probably like 7 or 8 and I was just like, yeah, it was watching Eddie Guerrero win the Tippin' Championship when I was like, man, this is the feeling I got to give to the world. Like, that feeling that I have right now watching this is how I want to make people feel when they watch me perform. And that was kind of when I knew that this was what I had to do, what I really wanted to do, and what I really loved to do.
Well, this moment was meant to be then because I was at the show where Eddie Guerrero won the world championship. It happened here in San Francisco.
You know, so, wait, Cal Palace?
Yes, I was. I was right there.
Oh, wow, that's awesome. See? That's crazy.
Yeah, the crowd erupted. The feeling that night in the house at that pay-per-view was obviously electric, and it had shockwaves that would impact the world going forward. It brought you to us.
Yeah, yeah.
So going back to that video, obviously Impact has always been on your radar, and I saw you at an Impact TV taping before you were even signed. Talk to me about what was going through your mind during that particular time frame. I mean, here is something you were trying out for a company that you had been aspiring to in so many ways since childhood. So I'm curious what the thought process was.
Whenever Impact comes to Vegas or they come to California, and I was able to work with them before being signed to Impact, it was me just trying to, get that spot here. I wanted to work for Impact, and I realized that I wanted to work for Impact after the first time I wrestled for Impact when the Rascals debuted, and I teamed with Mike Seidel. And after that, I think, was when I really realized that I wanted to be a part of the company full-time going forward. So after that, there was another time where I wrestled Luchasaurus a couple months later, and then there was the Unbreakable pay-per-view that they did over summer of 2019, where I wrestled, me and Eric Watts wrestled Peter Avalon and Ray Rosas, and then there was the September tapings. But all that time was just me just trying to show office that I could, not only could I hang with the roster, but that I could provide something different than the rest of the roster, and that I could essentially have my own spot, without taking someone else's. Because I believe in wrestling, there's always a certain amount of spots, but I believe in wrestling that if you separate yourself from everybody else, that you can create your own spot. And that whole time for me was just me really just trying to win over the approval of those in position here to put me in position to have an actual job with the company. And I'm very grateful that I got that opportunity. And I'd say I haven't wasted it being the current X Division champion, the best division champion, and turning up on Tuesday night. I think I did my thing.
So, you know, you bring it up that you wanted to show that you were something different. So what is it about Chris Bay that is so different from what we've seen before?
What I think is mainly different about Chris Bay than what we've seen before is that I'm me and nobody else is me. You know, we all are different, and too often do people try to play wrestler, people try to be what they saw once on TV or emulate things. And it's okay to be inspired by things, but you always want to create your own. And I think my first year and a half was me trying to play wrestler or be wrestler. And it wasn't until I realized that Chris Bay, as a human being, I have friends in real life, you know, and my friends like me for certain reasons. And I have, you know, acquaintances who I've passed and street, you know, and people have made judgment, oh, that's a nice guy, that's a this, that's a that, that's a that. And I had to sit down with myself and ask myself, you know, why do people like me? What is it that people like about me? And how can I translate that into wrestling? So I think I'm just not like anything else we have in wrestling, no matter how similar I may look to other people. If that's the case, I move like someone else. I talk like someone else. My entrance is different than anybody else. The entrance music I come out to is one of my actual best friend songs. So for me to actually bring that, something that I listen to on my everyday life, into the world of wrestling, that's why people, you know, say that I have such a cool theme song. It's because it wasn't made for wrestling and it wasn't made for a wrestling character. It was made as a real life song and brought over into the world of wrestling. So when people hear it as a wrestling theme song, they hear it as a really cool song. And I try to do everything really cool in my promos. I try to just say stuff that I say in my everyday, you know, my everyday life. Or, you know, when I we did the promo backstage with the champagne celebration on the Tuesday turn up party, and I was saying a lot of lingo that I really say in my everyday life. And when I do that stuff, people who aren't wrestling fans come up and they go, man, like, that was really entertaining. Or like, yo, that was hilarious when you did this, when you did that. Like, I can't believe you did that in the world of wrestling. And I just try to take everything that's real about Chris Bay outside of wrestling and bring it into the world of wrestling, because it doesn't exist inside of wrestling. And I think that really separates me from everybody else, because there is no other me. You know, there can be, everybody has to be an individual, and I'm as me as it gets. You know, there's not a watered down version of me that you're getting. There's not a scripted version of me that you're getting. You're getting me. And I think it works, and then sometimes it doesn't work. You know, I see people say, oh man, this guy doesn't even have a character. Well, I don't need one. I'm the ultimate finesse. That's the lifetime character right there. Like, you just, you know, we talk about me being a kid on YouTube, you know, unboxing the belts, and now me working for the company, being a real champion. I finessed my way into that. The ultimate finesse is a real lifestyle of mine. So I just think it's just authentic, and people feel authentic, and it makes it unique.
I live by the philosophy, there's only one me, and I'm the most me and more me than anybody else can be. And I think that,
I love that.
You know, like, you only get one time to be you, so do it to the max.
Yeah, 100%. I love that philosophy.
As a longtime fan of the show, before joining on, you're clearly aware of how impactful, pun intended, the X Division has been in defining Impact as a company. So what do you hope becomes your legacy now that you hold the X Division Championship?
I hope that people, what people will take away from this for years to come is that, you never know anything until you know it. You know, I came into the company and I wanted the championship, and, you know, until this past Tuesday, where I unfortunately had to spare my arm and live to fight another day against CJP, that I had not been beaten yet since I signed with the company. You know, I had been in matches that I did not win, but I had never been pinned. I had never been submitted. And in my first major pay-per-view with the company, I finessed the X Division Championship. And people say, you know, oh, man, it's too soon, it's too this, it's too that. I say that I ain't taking my time. It's my time, so I'm taking it. So I think when people look back to my era and my current reign and what this reign will become, people will say, man, like, this guy doesn't wait for anything. He's going to take anything he wants. You can take anything you want. And this guy is here to make history, and he just made history. And every day he does what he does, he makes history, and we are all living in history. I want people to understand that every day we got a chance to write a new chapter. And I've been writing a chapter. I've been writing a page and many chapters, and I'm about to move on to another book at this point on how much content I've written in my short time. Yeah, I just want people to be able to understand that this is history in the making, and when we fast forward in 10 years from now, 20 years from now, I'm going to be that staple for kids around the world who were just fans and were just these, you know, I hate to use the term, but, you know, a mark from this business, and showing people that you're a mark, and it's okay to be a mark sometimes, because if you take that drive and really manifest it and really work hard, you can create exactly whatever you want out of it. And I've created an X Division championship run, and we run it all the way to the top with this one.
So you mentioned your recent in-ring confrontation and out-of-ring confrontations with TJP, and he's somebody who's made a name for himself around the world, and you're still pretty new to Impact fans. As you mentioned, they say it might be too soon for you to be the X Division champion, but I was curious what you think defending your belt against someone as established as TJP would mean for your career and for the X Division title as a whole.
I think it would be for sure validation. I treat every scenario as validation that I'm moving in the right direction. You know, up until Slammiversary, it was kind of me just working super hard and me trying to make this thing happen. And then once it happened, it was, okay, sweet, this is validation that I'm going in the right direction, because now I got this championship sitting on my lap. Well, now we have guys like TJP, like you said, who are established and have been all over the world and won championships, you know, seemingly everywhere he's been and done everything in this business. So when a guy like him starts to come after me and put the target on me, it once again validates that I'm the man and that I'm who everybody wants to work with. He doesn't want to come wrestle me because I have the championship. He wants to come wrestle me because I'm Chris Bay, because I'm the ultimate finesse, and because he's done everything in the world except for get in the ring with a guy like me, except for, you know what I'm saying, had a classic one-on-one with a guy like me. So it's just as important for him as it is for me. And for me, it's that validation that the best in the world want to wrestle me because I'm the best in the world. And after I beat him, it'll prove what everybody should already know, that I am not the future of this business, but I am the current of this business. And that I put everything on the line for this business, and that I'll continue to put everything on the line for this business. And the next challenger will be just as big of a name as TJP, if not bigger than TJP, and they'll have to learn the same thing. I think it's just validation. It's validation that I'm the man and that I'm the right now.
You mentioned Slammiversary, which was bar none my favorite pay-per-view event of the entire last year at minimum. And on that show, your recent ally, Rohit Raju, made a statement that all of the wrestlers who are showing up now on the Impact roster are looking to take the place, as you kind of mentioned earlier, of people who've been there for a while. And I was curious how real you think that sentiment is, or how real that fear is in the locker room, that people who've been around for a while are going to get pushed aside for newer names.
It's a real thing. You know, it definitely happens in the business. It happens. But I think it really happens when people start to doubt themselves, such as that right there. You know, that statement alone that Rohit made is almost a statement of doubt, because I don't fear anybody being able to come in and take my spot. You know, I don't care where you've been or how long you've been doing this or what how big your name is. You can't beat me, and I will always create my own lane. I will always create my own spot. So it's a real thing that does happen. I don't fear it happening to me at all, because I just know my own work ethic, and I know when the lights are on and when the lights are off, nobody's going to outwork me. You know, I put in so much work for this day in and day out, you know, sun up, sun down. Nobody's going to outwork me. Nobody's going to take my spot. So if anybody else is fearing that, You know, it'll be, you'll be able to see it. You can read people. You can read the energy of people. You can see it in people's work rates, who's going to step it up. I think now more than ever, though, is the time for all of us to just keep stepping it up. Everybody's watching Impact right now. Everybody's seeing all the new talent that's coming in. Everybody's seeing all the talent that we already have, who we've been showcasing, such as myself. I think it's the time for everybody to step up, especially if they're in fear of someone coming in and taking their spot. You better step up or step aside.
Nike just dropped a new line of shoes yesterday. So I'm wondering what your obsession with sneakers is, specifically Nike, because I have a mad collection of Adidas, but you've got a pretty tight collection of Nikes.
Right. I love Adidas, though, too. Don't get me wrong. I love Adidas, too.
I don't like Nike, so we're going to have to, you know, just agree to disagree. So, but what is your obsession with sneakers, and how many pairs do you have?
Well, I'm looking right now. So I got like 9 pair of Jordans, and then I've got about 3 pair of Adidas here. I've got a nice sized collection of boots here. I've got probably somewhere around like 16, 17 pair of shoes. It's not a lot. To some people maybe a lot, but when I was younger, I remember I had like 30, 35 at a time. So this has definitely been growing over the past year or two. I've been getting back into sneakers and getting this back on track. But this Jordan thing really has been my obsession currently, because you know the value. The value is always going up in Jordans, and then they also are kind of nostalgic for me. They remind me of my childhood. They remind me of my dad. They remind me of happier, simpler times of my family. So that's why I've really started getting back into sneakers. But I got like a good number over here, probably like 20 pair.
I tagged you last night on Instagram. You saw my collection. I have 35 pair of Adidas high tops alone. So yeah, maybe I have a bigger problem than you do. And of course yours look much better, because I saw all of them like circling your X Division championship. So you clearly win. You clearly win the shoe off because of the belt. Damn it.
It ain't about how much you got, you know, it's about how you wear it. If you got style, I got style, then we styling together. It ain't nothing else.
That's right. I agree with that. You know, this morning I was kind of jamming out to your new song, Lonely. And for the listeners, it's on Spotify. You can find it on YouTube, among other places. I don't even want to be your homie. She say you're making me sad. Do you like how it feels being lonely? Lonely by Chris Bay. I was wondering if you could compare what it's like to put yourself out in front of audiences as a musician compared to what it's like being out in front of audiences as a wrestler. Do you feel a different kind of vulnerability when you're putting music out?
Nah, not at all. I think, because I've been putting out music for longer than I've ever been a wrestler. You know, there's not a lot out there anymore because I've deleted the most of it, because a lot of it just didn't hold up, whether it was the quality or the content or the context of it. But I started making music when I was like 6, so when I was probably like 13 until about 20 years old, I think I dropped like 10 or 11 mixtapes throughout that whole duration. It's not really it is a different level of vulnerability, I guess, because I talk about emotional things and things that are real to me. But I think that's what people like, and I think that's what I gravitate to when I listen to music. I gravitate to those things that when people are just being real and being honest and saying things that I can feel. So I just try to speak about my experiences and say things that other people will be able to feel. You know, like that song Lonely, it's my favorite song that I've ever made out of the 1,000 songs I've probably written in my lifetime. It's definitely my favorite song. It's just catchy, it's short and sweet, and it's just so real and authentic too, you know? Like, it's about protecting yourself and protecting your feelings and protecting your emotions. And I think everybody can listen to that and feel a certain way. And so far, the feedback that I get from it is usually people who tell me that, you know, it helps them through their days, or, you know, it really just changes their vibe of the day. And I love that. I love that, because if I can be that for other people, I'm doing what I wanted to do in the first place with wrestling, but I wanted to give back that same feeling. Now I'm doing it through music. I want to do it through all of my outlets.
One of the things that that made me think about is, like, everybody has all these different forms of creativity and ways they express themselves. During the lockdown, the COVID lockdown, the people of impact, the wrestlers, have been putting out these incredible, like, I think of what the North did, and I think of what the Deaners did, sort of when they were, like, locked away. They made these incredibly creative vignettes, and it really felt like it enriched the product overall. How do you feel about the product that Impact has been putting out over the last several months?
Well, I love it. I think we're doing a great job putting out different content and putting out stuff that people can get into. And I think everybody's starting to see that. And the buzz is building, the engagement online is building, and people are really starting to see what I wanted people to see. It was a part of the reason why I came to the company, because I liked what Impact was doing already, and I wanted people to see that. We have a stacked roster of people who are putting in their heart and soul into what we're doing, and I wanted people to feel that. I wanted people to see that and know that. And now, you know, you're bringing it up, other people are bringing it up, the word's getting around. I think we're doing a sick job, and I think if you like what you see, you gotta stay tuned, because it's only about to get better and better and better. I don't know if you're watching Wrestle House or if you're entertained by Wrestle House, but that alone is just something that I feel like is gonna
oh my god, I'm in love with Wrestle House. I really am. I you know, it's a great way to showcase such a large number of talents in a way that is entertaining but different. So yeah, definitely Wrestle House is like a highlight for me every week.
Right
Chris, thank you for joining me. I appreciate it. I look forward to seeing what the future holds for you in Impact and what you contribute to the X Division, amongst other things. I don't think the X Division title is going to be the last for you. So thank you for joining, and have a great day.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate y'all. I'll talk to you soon and on Twitter. And make sure y'all watch Impact on Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Central, or Pacific, that is. Yeah, Pacific, 5 p.m. Pacific, on Access TV. And if you don't have Access TV, go ahead and watch it on Twitch, because we be on Twitch, too. It's all over. Tuesdays, The Ultimate Finesse, The Finesse Division. You got to see it. Bay is Bay. Thank you for having me, though.
Yeah, for sure. All right, that was Impact X Division champion Chris Bay. You can catch him, as he said, every Tuesday night on Access Television. Impact Wrestling is broadcasting at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And if you cannot access Access TV, which I personally cannot, watch on Twitch. I watch on Twitch every single week. And if you can't watch it on the main Twitch stream, which I do encourage, I frequently will join Jessica Havoc. Jessica Havoc has an awesome Twitch channel and a great community of people that watch with her there as well. Thank you to Impact Wrestling for making your X Division champion available to me. If you're not watching Impact, you truly are missing out. One of the biggest frustrations I have when talking to people who speak negatively about Impact is I'll ask them, well, what is it that you don't like about the program? What is it that just is not entertaining to you? And so often people say, oh, well, I watched 5 years ago and I don't like it. Dude, 5 years ago? Really? 5 years ago, everything was different. 5 years ago, we'd never heard of COVID. 5 years ago, Obama was in the White House. 5 years ago was an extremely different time for all of us. And Impact is growing, it's changing, it's evolving. It has been stellar, absolutely stellar, for months and months now, if not the last good solid year. And if you love women's wrestling, which I do, Impact has the single most stacked knockouts division they've ever had. The tag team division is on fire now. So many good things. Obviously, the X Division is on fire. Chris Bay as the X Division champ. I highly encourage you to give Impact another chance. They will win you over. All right, we are going to take a quick break, and we will be back to recap the past week in professional wrestling right after this. You're listening to Arm Drag Takedown with Pollo Del Mar. Follow the podcast on Twitter at ADT with PDM. That's ADT with PDM. And be sure to check out the first two episodes of our second season, when we speak with former Impact Wrestling superstar Kongo Kong and the most violent woman in professional wrestling, Lufisto. Those are the first two episodes of season 2 of Arm Drag Takedown with Pollo Del Mar. And now, back to the podcast. All right, everybody, welcome back to the podcast. Thank you for tuning in once again. What an incredible interview that was with Chris Bay. Catch Chris Bay and all the stars of Impact Wrestling Tuesday nights on Access TV or check out their Twitch channel. I'm your host, Poya Del Mar, the first lady of Bay Area professional wrestling and an acclaimed and award-winning journalist who's covered professional wrestling for 7 years for the Huffington Post. So this past week was a big one in professional wrestling yet again, but unfortunately it did not, to me, have the same level of quality that last week had. Things kicked off on Monday with the very strange Retribution storyline going across all facets of WWE. We had it on Monday as well as Friday on SmackDown. For me, I'm having a really difficult time with this. We're going to have to wait and see what develops from it. But all I know is that the biggest and most jarring element of this storyline, of course, was that it was barely introduced on Monday as it was promised on WWE's social media network as well as the WWE.com. And we saw a little bits of it with the lights flickering and things of that nature, but no foreshadowing really other than setting the fires to those outdoor generators or whatever they were of what was to come. But by Friday, all of a sudden, the SmackDown announce team was talking about Retribution as if we should have known them by name or understood what they were about. And unless this was something that was developing on their social media or on WWE.com, when they started talking about Retribution, I had no idea what they were talking about in general. And obviously it became very apparent very quickly that it was this faction that's forming. But what the faction means, what they intend, or what they're going to be doing going forward, I suppose we'll find out tonight more about that on Raw. In terms of giving this a letter grade, for me, the execution of it, even with that big ending on SmackDown, was a straight up F minus. I was not interested in it. I didn't get it. And the vibe and feel of the entire show during that final segment shifted. It went from the glossy, high-end WWE product that we were looking at and accustomed to something that felt very low-end. I think that that was part of the intention, but it just did not land on all cylinders for me. And I will also say the same thing. I'm going to give them some time to develop this Raw Underground idea and concept that they started on last Monday. But for me, again, that was very failing in levels of interest. I thought it was a bit jarring to see WWE talent in the ring sparring off against these, generally speaking, much smaller opponents. I mean, was I supposed to be impressed to see these guys beating up on men that were a fraction of their size? With the exception of that one very large, well-built African-American competitor who got beat down once the Hurt Business came in, the rest of these talents were much smaller, and overall, I just was not captivated, unfortunately. Equally disappointing to me was the fact that the story that I was most intrigued by from the previous week, the Alexa Bliss being attacked by The Fiend, turned out to also be a severe dud in follow-up. I did not watch this live, so it's very possible the rebroadcast I saw missed a segment of it. But I saw the beginning of the introduction of The Fiend coming out, and then when it returned, we saw what seemed to be a flashback in time to Alexa and Bray in the ring together, and she looked at him and then stroked his cheek, leading some people online to even speculate that we might be seeing the beginning of a relationship between the two. And then we cut away to Bray, who had been previously the baby face in this scenario, stating that he doesn't care about Alexa's well-being, that he cannot be manipulated by Bray in this capacity, and that he, when he returns, is going to be basically the monster among men again. He is a monster now. So I'm left questioning, are we seeing a double turn here? Is Bray and The Fiend going to become a baby face? Is Braun now the heel? I don't have an answer for this. And frankly, I don't want to be left guessing this way because I don't have a level of interest in this that makes me want to guess. I want this storyline to be easily digestible, and it seemed to be going in that direction. I left last week's broadcasts, or rather the previous week's broadcasts, aching to know more about what was going to happen between The Fiend and Alexa and Braun. And after this week's show was hijacked, both literally and figuratively, by this retribution angle, I've already started to lose interest. This is not a good sign. Meanwhile, in other news in WWE, NXT is building towards a great showdown between Karrion Kross and Keith Lee. I am definitely interested in that and their ability to build my interest in younger stars, such as the individuals who are competing in the upcoming ladder match to determine the new NXT North American champion. That's working very well for me. On Tuesday night, Impact Wrestling delivered another great show. It wasn't stellar as it has been in weeks past, but I'm loving the Wrestle House segments. Wrestle House has got me more interested in some of the individuals who are in that story than I've ever been in them, and it's very entertaining to me, so I'm looking forward to that. I'm also enjoying the build of some of the angles that they're portraying, such as Ace Austin and Madman Fulton versus the Good Brothers. And of course, I'm very ecstatic to see the North continuing to build in their story with the Motor City Machine Guns. After the Machine Guns took their Impact World Tag Team titles, I'm very interested to see how, in fact, the North is going to go about winning them back. And as my favorite team, I have to just be up front. I want the North to have those belts, but I also want to see them put on a series of classics with the Motor City Machine Guns. This is good. The best way for them to secure their place in the history of Impact as well as tag teams. I love it. I'm very much looking forward to it. By the way, is there anybody who looks better in all of Impact Wrestling than Moose? I don't care that he's holding a belt that was retired a number of years ago. I consider him as great of a world champion as any in Impact history. And this man's storytelling, his wrestling, his look, he looks like $1 million. Impact is on fire still, and I'm looking forward to this Tuesday's episode. Of course, naturally, I have to throw in that I'm enjoying the X Division matches with Chris Bay and the story that they're telling with TJP as well. On Wednesday, we did get to see AEW. The highlight of AEW for me continues to be MJF, who is just simply too good to be his age. It's incredible. I foresee him decidedly carrying the professional wrestling industry into the next generation, and I'm looking forward to his upcoming world championship match against Jon Moxley. That is going to be incredible. I'm also looking forward to this Wednesday's TNT championship match between Cody Rhodes and Scorpio Sky. Even though it was a very brief build and setup for this match, Scorpio Sky is super talented. Oh my gosh, you guys, I find him so hot. So I can't wait to see him in the ring. From the way they continually circle back to him and build him up on commentary as a credible challenger to any singles championship, I certainly think that AEW, Tony Khan, and the like see a tremendous future in Scorpio Sky. So that bodes very, very well. That is our arm drag takedown of last week in professional wrestling. I'm going to let you know now on upcoming episodes, we're already lining up some incredible talents, individuals who are agreeing to join me for upcoming interviews. We're going to have MLW star, most marketable Richard Holiday on an upcoming episode. Jax Dane, the former NWA's World Heavyweight Champion, has also agreed, and so has Tim Storm. So there's so much in the works. Plus, I can't wait to bring on an outlandish interview with the NWA's World Must-See Television Champion, the outlandish Zicky Dice. He's also agreed. So much is going on here at the podcast, but the most important thing is you, the listener. Thank you so much for joining us. Until next episode, I'm Poyet Almar, and thanks for tuning in.